Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the series of, and at the other end of the series of tubes and wires.
Series of wires, tubes.
That we call the internets.
I just barf right leg part six.
Is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I am.
What are you, dark side now?
Well, you know, why not? I mean, it's just, you know, we got a good geeking weekend in. We got some free comic books. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy. We got oodles of things to talk about.
Why, yes, we do. That means the questions from Grant that we got off of the fire-breathing Twitter machine have to wait another week, don't they?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Well, why don't I throw one out there?
Well, hang on a second. Let me see. Because you done sent them to me, right?
Yep. We'll go with the top one.
Joe, oh, here they are.
Are comics still for kids? Are the grandkids of aging geeks picking them up? This weekend is a good tie-in for that, because on Free Comic Book Day, I saw tons and tons of kids.
Yep. And Corey helped him to the bathroom like the gentleman he is.
Dear God, Joe.
Well, you can't clean house jokes all day long.
You're going to get us sued. You're going to get us sued.
You want to get us sued? Are comics still for kids? Some are. Some aren't.
I actually have a semi-intelligent answer for this.
Okay, well, give us the non-intelligent portion, and we'll work our way into the intelligent part.
Well, the non-intelligent part is if you go to a comic shop, the comics that are for kids do not get ordered, because comic shops, kids don't go there that much. However,
which I always find, I think it depends on the shop, because I know I sold quite a few when I had Hot Comics. Not so much with Crazy Comics, and then I know the source has a huge section of kids' comics that always seems to be circulating over. And, of course, it gets to where you got to decide, is this a kids' comic? Like My Little Pony, I know there's a lot of bronies out there buying it as well as the kids. Would you say, like, any comic book like the Marvel Universe ties into the cartoons? Is that aimed at kids? Is that considered something for adults? Or is it something like all ages?
Oh, that's aimed at kids.
And then you've got the reprints from the, some reprints, some new stuff from the, what do they call themselves? Americana? American Heritage Comics? Underdog, Pink Panther, things like that. Would you say those are all ages? Or would that be, they're trying to trek some nostalgia?
I think it's more they're trying to trek some nostalgia, because even though they're kids' comics, you know, they're written as kids' comics, how many kids know the Pink Panther cartoons? When's the last time the Pink Panther was on TV?
Yeah, I'm looking at their, right now they've got Pink Panther, Rocky and Bullwinkle, I believe Underdog was out this month. And some of it, you know, obviously Stargate Atlantis, yeah, that's not something that for the kiddies necessarily. Or you take a look at comics like the Bongo line. You got SpongeBob SquarePants. You got The Simpsons. A lot of times you look through Boom. Would you say...
The Kaboom line is actually aimed at kids.
How about something like Mighty Morphin Power Ranger? Or do you think that's more, again, nostalgia because they're dealing with the original run?
They're actually, I read the first issue. They're aimed at teenagers and above. They're not really a kids' comic. They play on the fact that, you know, these are the older, you know, the older characters, not the movie characters. So they've got some dark themes in there. But if you look at the sales, kids' comics don't sell real well in comic shops. However, one of the things that Marvel points out that no one ever seems to listen to, and I have an interview coming up later this week with a local artist that touches on this, Scholastic has become the second biggest seller of comic books. Marvel, even though Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur only sells about 10,000 copies in comic shops, sells like gangbusters through Scholastic. Same with Big Nate, the comic strip. The creator of that comic strip does children's books that have made the New York Times bestseller list from selling through Scholastic and through schools and to kids. And one of the things that some of the creators at Marvel say is, you've got to quit focusing so much on the comic book store as the market. Kids aren't going to comic book stores, but if they go in, they go, oh, cool, here's Squirrel Girl, here's the Wasp, here's Iron Man, here's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Ms. Marvel, yeah.
You know, here's Ms. Marvel. That stuff is selling to kids outside of comic shops. And for all of the crap Marvel gets about, oh, they're too diverse, oh, they're politically correct, there's a reason they're doing it, and it's because they've opened up a new market. I tell you what, when those first Riri Williams books come out, those are going to sell in junior high and high school like you can't believe. They're gonna make a ton of money. So, yes, comics can still be for kids, but comic shops aren't for kids. And
I would disagree. I would say not necessarily all.
Not all, but most.
I would say you get a shop like The Source, that's very kid-friendly. I'm trying to think of the other comic stores in town. Most of the other ones in town, I think, cater to comic fans.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily help out. Although when we were at Granite City, they had a lot of kids in, but a lot of those were being brought along with their parents.
Yep, and they've got the small rack of kids' comics up front.
And down low.
But they are also very much Granite City in St. Cloud is very much a classic comic shop. They don't have a lot in the way of trade paperbacks, but boy, do they have those back issues. They've got boxes and boxes and boxes of bagged, boarded back issues. You know, you want your complete run of Avengers? They're going to have it all the way back to, you know, the 70s.
And I love digging through their Golden Age and Silver Age, because you never know what you're going to run into. Even they had a couple new boxes of stuff all set up. Things that they'll bring to the con, the MCBA con, which we'll be talking about in the next show. Well, maybe the show after. I don't want to bore Corey too much.
Well, you should talk about it.
He's retired and all.
You should talk about it in this show, because it's coming up in just 5 days.
Yep, and if you didn't get a chance, advance tickets are done. They closed them down. They'll be closing them down midnight. May 17th. So you got like 2 days to buy them. And,
so get your crap together.
Yeah, get it together. And of course, we all know it's at the fairgrounds, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I think they're doing that on Sunday too, aren't they? Or is it 5 p.m.?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. But if you go to www.mcbacomiccons.com, all the information's there. May 20th, 21st. There it is. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. Admission's $14, which includes both days, $1 off, with a can of non-perishable food donation for the food shelves. Kids 9 and under are free. Free parking. They got a free picnic area. They got all the creators listed, all the dealers, the different exhibitors going on.
Ooh, and, exhibitors. Sounds professional.
It does. I mean, it's the last year they're going to have Arkham Carnival by Nee Corll.
So why is this the last year for that?
Well, you'll have to go to the con and ask them. They have Crypticon Minneapolis, which is a horror media event held sometime after MCBA show. And, of course, we have a great relationship with them, so you can pick up information there. Geek by Numbers will be there. They're working to become the entertainment hub for all your nerdy, geeky needs. One location where you can find new and exciting shows. The Greyhound Pets of America will be there. IKV Raquel, which is the Twin Cities, Minnesota-based Star Trek club and Klingon warship. And of course, Minnesota Superheroes United, those are the professional cosplayers. And our good buddy Adam Royale will be there. What's it? No, not Adam Royale.
Adam Vermillion.
Oh, just like the lake up north. Panels and pizza. He'll be on the second floor doing interviews, which will you can find on FancyPantsGangsters.com. The Royal Matacoran Navy will be there. The Saber Legion for Star Wars, TollCon, which is a brand new Middle-Earth-themed fan convention that'll be coming to Minneapolis this fall, November 3rd and 5th, they'll be promoting. Twin Cities Geek, which is kind of a online culture magazine by geeks for geeks in Minnesota. One of my favorite is the Twin Lug Legos, where they set up that table of all the different Lego displays and stuff. And really, you could spend a few hours just looking at the minutia detail that they have there. And of course, 501st Legion, that's the central garrison for the all-volunteer organization. They do Star Wars, and they're in Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota. That's pretty much, that's all the exhibitors. And of course, I'll be there with my lovely daughters and friends working the charity booth. So while time's a-wasting, if you got something you want to donate to the charity booth for a tax write-off, just bring it to the show, because I don't think you'll have time to mail it, nor will I have time to come get it. And, of course, everybody who donates something gets a free key to Corey's Strode Estate compound. And as we all know, Corey's never there, so you can just go in and help yourself to some of his collection and bring it to the con.
And I always have snacks.
That he does.
I put out a good spread.
Although, we had to go to Super America on Free Comic Book Day because we had three things we had to do. First off, we had to get Road Trip Donuts. No matter how bad they are, everybody has to have a road. They are. Everybody has to have one of those plastic chocolatey donut thingies. The cheaper, the better. Oh, yeah. In fact, it just gets on top of your mouth and you're trying to get it off. And because we are back, we had a successful trip, and our good buddy Butch joined us, too.
I thought maybe I'd cleaned his apartment and he wouldn't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because Butch, he does love himself some cleaning, I'm telling you. I had to fill up. I had to get gas. And then, of course,
he actually got gas.
If it works, Corey actually had a recorder set up in the car, so we might have the first installment of the new podcast, Corey, Butch, and Joe Go Through a Car Wash.
This week is going to be podcast crazy. We got this one. We got an interview with one of the artists who's going to be at SpringCon. That'll be tomorrow. Wednesday is the second episode of Bad Advice with myself and Wolfie giving bad advice to people.
Yeah.
And then Thursday is the...
If you listen to the 300th episode, you know how bad the advice can get.
And Thursday, we got the first of our Roadshow Diaries that are going to be going up. That's a special episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. And then Friday is Novelcast.
Now, the question is, why did you choose to do that as a special episode versus just a regular one?
Because it's really... When I listen to it... We don't stay on topic. Regular episode, we're terrible at staying on topic.
It is.
On the road show, it is pretty much like somebody dumped a bunch of ping pong balls on us, and we're going, look at that.
Hey, let's read the billboards for the next 50 miles.
So, if you ever want to know what it's like to be in the fourth seat with some nerds going to get free comics and watch a
Marvel
movie.
We're not smart enough to be nerds.
I'm smart enough to be a nerd.
Well, okay, we'll go with that.
Hey, I actually know my IQ.
Yeah, and you only took you four I's to do it.
Yeah, I know my IQ. It was tested repeatedly in school because the principal of the small school that I went to did not believe that I was that smart.
I had to test it.
Well, first in first grade, they had me tested because I was so bored. They actually moved me ahead to second grade for reading and then back to first grade for everything else. But the principal at the school, and this is a small school, SMALL, small school, 250 people lived in the town, did not believe the test that I was given. So second grade, oh my God, was I bored. And I got into a lot of trouble. And then in fifth grade, I was tested again. And it was like, yeah, you know that test that we gave him in first grade? It was accurate. And then when I was in college, I think I've talked about my junior year of college, I actually hit a point where it's, oh, crap. You mean I need to study? I've never had to do that before.
Never last.
And they put me through a whole bunch of tests. And again, they were like, okay, here's you know what your problem is? You got a problem. That's your problem. And
too much pie.
The problem was, you know, your IQ is high enough that you've never really had to study before. You don't have that skill. And you need to learn it fast because your grades are dropping faster than Reagan's sanity.
They're going down.
So, yeah. And just remember, a high IQ means you solve puzzles.
Yes.
That's about it.
Very puzzling.
So, but we only went to one comic store this time around. And you want to tell the good listeners why on Free Comic Day we only went to one?
Because there's only one comic store in St. Cloud?
No, it has more to do with your unending work ethic.
Hey, I worked last year, too. I could have driven and seen you. I worked until 10 a.m., and Joe said, oh, if Butch comes over, we'll come get you. If Butch doesn't come over, come meet me. Well, Butch came over.
Yeah. So and we didn't actually get going till like about 11.
And I got to sit on the deck and read funny books till you showed up.
We got to drive around the mobile park because, you know, I didn't want to stop lest I pay $100 or something.
Yeah, I was
on the playground that had a picture of you said, watch out for this man. He doesn't give out candy. He gives out comics. He rots kids' minds.
Well, good. They finally took down the one that said he cleans your mom's dishes.
Please clap.
And so we... hour and a half it took to get to lovely St. Cloud.
Yes, and it is lovely.
And we continued the tradition of taking a picture at the Granite City Jobbers.
Yep.
Because that's the name of our tag team, the Granite City Jobbers.
And once again, I shoved money into the parking meter, which apparently you don't need to do on weekends.
You didn't read that part till after you put the money in.
Yeah, well, no, after Tim said, we got to get going because I got to go shove the meter. Oh, they're free! Door!
And who was the artist they had?
I don't know. Because what happened was is I had all my stuff in a box that I was going to bring in, and then usually we talk about, well, we picked up this, we picked up that. And it was raining last couple days, when we, you know, after we got home, and then I just brought it to work because I figured, well, just in case I get a chance to read. And I did. I actually got a chance to read some of them, their Free Comic Book Days stuff. So as I'm getting ready for the podcast, I was like, can I use my Drag Your Podcast? I want to go over and see my boyfriend. And I said, sure. And then about 30 seconds later, as she drives away, doop, I left the box in the truck. So we will have to, I'll have to talk about their, you know, I got a free comic from the guy and we talked a little bit. I actually gave him the podcast information. And so next time, next week, I'll give you something to look for the next episode.
We'll forget it for like a month, won't we?
Well, no, if I actually find the book, I'll read it quick because
it'll be
part of the reviews that we usually do. I do know I picked up a couple sets. And did I pick up I picked up that showcase that had 70s Spectre in it.
Yes, doesn't that have the Neil Adams Spectre?
I believe so, because it was only like $5. And I thought for $5, that's some good reading, even if I end up having it, which, you know, for a while I was picking up Showcase the way I was picking up Essentials, just anything and everything. And if I do have it, I'll just eBay's it or I'll bring it to the charity booth at the con, you know. There are ways to dispose of things you don't want. Well, since I really can't talk much about what I got, what did you get, Corey?
I picked up some trade paperbacks and some stuff like that, but the main thing that I picked up was I picked up another set of the Weird World story that was in Marvel Premiere, which was a black and white magazine till this, and then it was in Marvel Color, which was a new kind of color printing. And it's basically, it's laid out by John Buscema and then painted by Ruby Nebrise and written by Doug Mensch. Very much a Tolkien knockoff, but it's, come on, man. It's John Buscema drawing stuff that he liked. It's John Buscema at his best, and then it was painted over by one of the better painters who ever worked in comics. It was good stuff, man. It was good stuff. They had a complete run of a Warren magazine, a Warren science fiction magazine from the late 70s called 1984, that normally I would have picked up. Except, most of the Warren stuff is now free of copyright, and you can go to the Internet Digital Archive, which is where they keep old web pages and things like that. And if you go to comics, they've got the whole run there that you can download and read digitally, and I actually had it on the tablet that I had in my man bag that I carry with me to work. So it was like, ah, I don't need to pay for something.
You can't sit on the outdoor deck and read a decent magazine on your tablet.
My tablet I can.
No, you just can't. It ain't happening. I actually had a talk with some guys at work about that, you know, whether or not is the digital thing changing everything. And it's like there's still, you know, there's a different tactile feel between reading a magazine versus, like, just looking at it on your tablet. If you just want to read it, fine. But I don't know if you can actually enjoy the art as much when you're looking at it digitally. Certainly not I don't know. I think you miss something by not having the actual – although you can save a lot of space, you know, having everything digital. At least till that first sun flare knocks out the interwebs, and then you'll be – or worse, what if somebody puts it behind a paywall?
Well, you can't put the Internet Digital Archive behind a paywall because everything on it is public domain.
Somebody will figure out a way to monetize it.
They do. They do it with ads.
And what they'll do is they'll put that on the low spectrum of the net neutrality.
Well, there's that.
Page download in 5 hours, 32 minutes. 5 hours, 34 minutes. 5 hours, 36 minutes.
But, Joe, I'm going to let you in on a little secret of Warren's 1984, which eventually became 1994 magazine.
And then, of course, Prince did his song, 1999. And then,
yes. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret about that magazine. You ready?
And then Rush did 2112. Oh, what, the magazine?
Yeah. It's not very good.
Oh, no wonder it's free.
Yeah. Pretty much the only good thing in it is the Alex Nino art, and the stories are all horrible, horrible, horribly misogynistic and racist. So you're reading it going, whoa, oh, wow, even in the 70s they did this. Huh. You're not reading it going, wow, this is you're not reading it going, this is some undiscovered gem. You're reading it going, holy shit.
It's a little embarrassing here,
Joel. You can tell that Jim Warren wasn't around the office. Also, that magazine was sued successfully by Harlan Ellison. Because Warren did a adaptation of A Boy and His Dog without getting the rights from Harlan Ellison.
Ooh.
And when they were about to publish it, Harlan said, no, you won't, not without paying.
I don't think so.
So they changed the art and changed the story, but obviously not enough because Harlan got a nice little chunk of change out of it. So... Yeah, you know, there's some old stuff is crap. And I pay enough for the good stuff. I don't want to be...
I tell you, our crap was a lot better in our day.
But no, I picked up some fun stuff. I picked up the Jeff Smith Shazam story that I all. Did they ever collect that in a trade paperback? Because if it's four?
I believe they did.
Square bound. And I was going to buy it as a trade paperback, but I've never seen the trade paperback anywhere. So it might
check
not have done well.
Flaming eBays while you're telling us. And of course, the best part about that whole buy was that you found three of them in the cheap bin.
And the last issue I had to pay back issue price for.
Yeah, although they were, you know, he had everything on sale, but
yeah.
Yeah, Shazam, Monster Side of Evil, graphic novel. Somebody's got it, very good condition, for $3.98 with $3.99 shipping.
Oh.
So, tis out.
And Butch picked up comics. Butch actually had money.
He doesn't like flaunt. He's very humble.
Butch picked up 20-some issues of Ralph Snart Adventures.
Yeah.
Which was a comic from Now Comics. And most of the stuff Now did was adaptations. I think their biggest one was Married with Children. They also did Terminator.
What was the, there was a movie, Night? Oh, dang it. Brainlock. Roddy McDowell played Night? No, not Night Force. Night. I'll come up with it here.
Oh, where he was the horror host and there were actual vampires.
Yeah, yeah. Night. Oh,
Fright
God.
Night.
Fright Night, thank you. Yeah, those are pretty good. That's actually sold pretty well. Ralph Snart basically was a guy who was fed up with modern society. After one of the worst days he ever had, he made a decision to go insane and to create his own adventures in his head while locked in a padded cell. Mark Hansen did them. Now, the interesting thing about Now is that they actually were a publisher out of St. Cloud. I think they had Mr. T around for a while, didn't they?
They weren't in St. Cloud. They were Chicago.
Well, they printed in St. Cloud because that's why you found so many copies of Now floating around Minnesota, no matter where.
Oh, because the headquarters was in the Loop at Chicago.
Yeah, it didn't matter because, you know, they'd be like, oh, I got this complete run of Fright Night and Mr. T and Ralph Snart. Yeah, so does everybody else. Because I think what they did is overruns were allowed. They were allowed to bring them home. So for the longest time, you everybody had Now comics. Almost as bad as, oh, God, you're going to make me say it. Deathmate!
He's going to puke! He's going to puke! Another thing about Now, they actually had newsstand distribution.
As opposed to then.
So here are their books. They had Ebon, which was about a humanoid crow that carried a sword. Fright Night, Twilight Zone, Ghostbusters, Green Hornet, Mr. T and the T-Force, Astro Boy, Ralph Snart, a comic called Rust, which was amazing, and it was about a guy who, much like Ben Grimm, had turned into a monster, except he was metal and was rusting. So
metal.
He was slowly dying from oxidation, and it only lasted a few issues. Slimer had his own series, Speed Racer, Terminator, Vector, and Racer X. So the vast majority of their stuff was
licensed.
And the book that lasted the longest, believe it or not, kids, was Married with Children. The Married with Children comic, I think, went almost 50 issues, with Ralph Snart lasting just a little longer.
And now they're in quarter boxes almost everywhere. There's a few bright spots out there. Like, I know there were a couple of photo covers of Fright Night that either had low distribution or just people liked them because they were actual photo covers. I know the Mr. T comic, that was the big one when we went to one of the Capital City shows because they brought in Mr. T. They put so much money into that. They had a thing where if you, like, bought 5,000 copies, Mr. T would come to the store. Mr. T was in, he was in great mood. He was promoting the comic. It was a great picture of him and our old buddy Nick. Mr. T's like, look at me right here, Nick, right here, face to face, face to face. And Nick could not stop but smiling, you know. I've got pictures with him. Nick or Pat's got one. We had a couple signed copies. They had like rare ones they gave out there that were gold, and signed and labeled and whatnot. And I don't know how many issues that thing lasted.
And another thing about the first issue, Neil Adams drew it.
Yeah, that was the big one. Mr. T, let's see if I can find it there. There we go, Mr. T and the T-Force. It came with a trading card, too. Nevertheless. Of course, that wasn't Mr. T's first appearance. Corey, in a quick ask to Strode, what was Mr. T's first comic book appearance?
The A-Team comic back that Marvel did. Marvel did a three-issue A-Team comic.
Yep, back in 84.
And then we went across the street to a bookstore, used bookstore, that one of the things I found, we went there last year, one of the things I found very interesting is a lot of the books they had there last year, they still have this year.
I don't know about that, because there were a few that I was looking for that were gone. Maybe that's just because we're just looking at different books.
Well, Butch and I were looking at the graphic novels. And they had that one last year. And then when I went back to the science fiction and mystery section, they had almost a complete wall of Doc Savage books. Now, myself, I own all of the Doc Savage books. I've bought them when they came out, and then I've gone back, especially in the 80s. You went to a used bookstore, you could get them 50 cents each, and I just loaded up. But every year I take a picture, and people are like, oh, Doc Savage books. So I think next year I'll get a list from a couple people who keep saying, buy them all!
Buy them all.
Because they sell them for about $2 each, and I know in collector shops they sell for much more. But I was on the hunt for 70s men's adventure novels. And I picked up a batch of a series known as the Death Merchant. And what it was back in the 70s,
Just a quick note. The name of the bookstore was Books Revisited. 607 West, I think it's Germain Street, which is just right down the block from Granite City. So it was kind of fun. We got to actually visit both. And it was actually St. Cloud Bookshop, which was right around the corner, which maybe next year we'll have to hit them up as well.
I lost my train of thought. Oh, woo-hoo. The Executioner. The Executioner's kicked off this thing in the 70s because the Executioner, if you've read The Punisher, you've read The Executioner. You know, the Executioner was a Vietnam vet whose family was killed by the mob, and he swore vengeance against the mob. And then after 40 books, he'd killed off the mob, so the government hired him to kill off Arabs. And that's what he did through the 80s.
By the way, Mr. T and the T-Force went through 12 issues, it looks like.
Wow.
Yep. And number one had, let's see, the one that included the gold foil trading card.
Gold!
There was the advanced edition in place of a price that had no trading card. And then the newsstand edition, like you talked about, that included a non-foil trading card. And then the gold logo promotion edition that says advanced edition in place of a price. So you got four different variants. And I think the last one I had was the advanced edition that Mr. T had signed because I picked it up from Gruber when he was blowing out his stuff. And then like a year later, like, what? Why do I have this? And I just sold it. Sold!
Why do I have this?
Why did I buy it? I must part of it just remembering, you know, getting in line and, you know, the guy was, I mean, I was interested in doing the thing, Pat, and I thought, you know, this could work, but, you know, the Now guy just, I don't know, he didn't realize I was his customer, you know, I mean, and, as we all know, Now didn't Now go away.
No, they're kind of back.
Uh-oh.
They repackaged stuff, and and sell things in other markets. And they're pretty much, they show every once in a while they have something in previews. So they're not gone, but for the most part, you know, he got his money and he got out. He was very much a business guy and not a comics guy. So, but anyway, in the 70s, there was a boom after The Executioner came out and sold tons and tons of books. There was a boom of all these other books. The Butcher, The Penetrator, The Destroyer, which is my favorite pulp series of all time. But Death Merchants one where, you know, I read some Executioner books and didn't care for them because they were just, you know, very much, okay, here's a bad guy, and now our hero's going to kill a bunch of people till he gets to the head bad guy and kills him.
Oh,
but I've been
said
reading.
Now Comics ceased operation in 2006.
Oh, because he must be selling off his inventory in preview set.
Yeah, or maybe just, yeah, it's probably, that could probably be it, because then he could just say, yeah, Now Comics, maybe Goobers like me remember.
Well, if you got a warehouse with a bunch of Married with Children, it's, hey, nostalgia.
Yay.
But the Death Merchant, the guy who wrote it, from what I hear, was just way out there. And the books go into a hidden Fourth Reich and alien abduction and the Bermuda Triangle. And it sounds like just pure 70s cheese. So I picked up a few of those. What did you get at Books Unlimited?
You'll find out next week.
Or Books Revisited.
Actually, there is one graphic novel that I picked up, the DC Solo series. They had the hardcover there for a surprisingly good price, about $30. A quick check on the eBays has it going around $40 to $50. So that was actually not too bad. And, of course, when I'm ready to talk about Solo, Corey, talk about Solo, because you're good at soloing.
Solo was a series that DC put out for a while where they went to specific artists and said, all right, just do a book. Do some short stories. There, I think most of them had an interview in them. And it was, you know, kind of, okay, these are our superstar artists. Darwin Cook, Mike Allred, Sergio Aragonés.
See, Richard Corbin, Paul Pope, Howard Chaykin, Mike Allred. Serge Argonis, Scott Hampton, 12 issues, and then, of course, the hardcover itself had a cover price of $40, and I found they actually had quite a few of them there, and I found a sealed one still that I was able to get for the $30 price, so that was actually pretty good. I wish I had it. I could read it. Nope. It's
no,
being driven around.
You're recording a podcast now.
Don't drive my book around. Maybe Hollywood.
And then we saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Dun, dun, dun. I liked it.
I thought it was amazing. Absolutely loved every minute of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The opening 10 minutes is probably my favorite sequence in any movie ever. It is a fight scene set to ELO's Mr. Blue Sky, except it's all from Groot's point of view, and Groot's not paying attention to the fight.
Nope, he's dancing. Well, except when, we should probably throw up spoiler warnings right about now. We can be talking Guardians.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, I mean, even, of course, you know, you get to the end of the movie and, you know, we heard there were like five different after movie things and people are getting up and leaving. And I want to, what, who are you people that leave before a Marvel movie's done? And there were some good stuff too. And not to mention, as you're watching the credits, you'd see, I am Groot. And then it would flip flop to, the credit. So, you know, you want to watch kind of the whole thing. You did catch the Game Master in there, Jeff Goldblum's
yep.
character dancing. Not a lot of direct tie-ins to the upcoming, oh, what would you call it?
Avengers.
Infinity.
Avengers.
Is it Infinity War? Is that what they're calling it?
That's what they're calling it right now.
Okay. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this is a direct tie-in, no, it's kind of still its standalone. Just even in the most serious moments, things are just funny. I know at the end, I was kind of bummed, and this is like the major spoiler, so if you haven't seen it, don't listen to the next 10 seconds, but I was kind of bummed that they decided to kick off Michael Roker's character,
Yondu.
Yeah, because I like the character. I like Mike Roker as an actor. But I'm wondering if Marvel is getting into what I call the Star Wars, or I'm sorry, the Star Trek syndrome, where it's like every time Star Trek wanted to make a point, they killed off a character to the point where, like, unless you were one of the main characters on the show, they'd probably just kill your character off. And, you know, did they need to kill him? Well, at one moment, I thought, you know what? They're going to do something with this character because he almost single-handedly took out an entire ship of, you know, guys that were against him. Yeah, Rocket was there. He shot up a few, too. But, I mean, that whistling arrow thing just was crazy. So, it's almost like they made him too powerful because if you had him with you, what else would you need to do? He could just take down a whole army.
And it also was thematic because it was about closing that circle of, in the first movie, Star-Lord was looking for his father. In this movie, he found both fathers. So when you do the heroic cycle, that baton needs to be passed. There has to be that closure where he found his father. His father disappointed him, was his adversary, and the previous bad father became the good father. So thematically, they had to kind of do it that way, story construction-wise. What I liked was that they did almost the Empire Strikes Back thing of, okay, we're going to split up the team and then bring them back together. And, you know, the movie is a little, like, almost 2.5 hours we were in that theater.
I did not like it. I did not drink a giant Coke going in, though, so that helped.
But it did not feel like it. It was very well paced, very well put together. Normally, when they get to the character scenes, I'm spending a little time going, oh, this is so slow. But with this, nope. The story just kept going, and the character scenes were so interesting that they didn't slow the story down. They didn't, when they're having to give, you know, backstory and they're having to fill you in on what's going on, the exposition never dragged. The other thing I really liked about it was that it was, you know, you could tell by how it looked, it was set in the Marvel Universe. But it didn't rely on the continuity that some of the other movies had. The only thing is, if you've not seen the first one, you're not going to know these characters because they do not introduce the characters. It's like, here they are. Whereas in the first one, it's okay, here's who Star-Lord is, here's who Gamora is, here's who Rocket is, here's who Groot is, here's who Drax is. In this one, nope, they didn't take any time for that. They assumed you knew everything. You're just thrown in the deep end. Because one of my coworkers went and saw it and said, I didn't know what was going on until about an hour into the movie. And I said, well, did you see the first one? She said, no. And I'm like, well, that's why. And she still doesn't understand anything about Groot, doesn't understand anything about Drax, just thinks they're fun characters but doesn't understand them. And it's like, well, why is that a raccoon?
Why not?
Well, in the first one, they kind of explain it. You know, he was created by scientists, blah, 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 blah. In this one, it's like, nope, we don't have time.
Yeah, no time.
If you don't know, you'll never know.
You'll never know. Never last.
And this time, we weren't crammed in the small theater with the air conditioner blasting so loud it overpowered the soundtrack. That's what happened to us with Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, they weren't very civil.
But it's my favorite Marvel movie now. And I think I want to watch one and two back to back, because I bet if you just watch them back to back, they're just a seamless, just feel like it's one movie. Well,
now you did have one bitch though. Do you remember what it was?
That Butch went down in front and wouldn't sit next to me.
Well, that was probably the wisest thing Butch did. No.
There was one thing that really annoyed me.
Yeah.
In the first trailer, they play the song Fox on the Run by Sweet during one of the battle sequences. And in the movie itself, wasn't there.
Nope.
I'm waiting the whole movie, and every time there's a space battle, it's all right, here it comes. God damn it!
Nope, this wasn't there.
How dare they?
So after that, we met up with, I'm surprised they're still talking to us after the 300th episode.
Well, Wolfie wasn't there.
Yeah, okay, well, so we were safe, yeah. Stephanie and her lovely husband, David. Because we all know Stephanie's lovely. I just figured nobody ever said that to Dave.
I always call him Stephanie's handsome groom.
Mm-hmm. He's to die for. He's dreamy. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
And we went to a place called Grizzlies, which was, you know, kind of a bar with a restaurant. And the food was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The guacamole I had the day after, and oh, man, they do. Some of the chunks of avocado were so big they you could just put the chunk on the chip itself. But no, it's good bar food. I don't know. How was the burgers and all that?
Did I have a burger? Butch had a burger, I thought.
I don't know what you had.
I don't remember what I had.
Must not have been that great.
It was good, though. Yum, yum.
You know who else does good stuff?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks.
Well, and after we do the ads, we ask Joe the same question. Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Things are disappearing.
Aww.
Yep. Mostly because I'm selling them. But on the other hand, I'm going to be weeding things out. We talk in the beginning of the show. We got the MCBA Con coming up. I've got a lot of books I've been selling for the charities. I also got a lot of things of my own I'm just going to donate. So you got a few days. If there's something you've been looking at and it suddenly disappears, you know it's going to the show. And if it's something you really want, maybe if you send me a quick email at crazycomics@gmail.com or contact me through the eBay interwebs, I might, take it out of the charity booth and sell it to you.
Maybe.
But it's going to cost you, though.
Probably.
Because it's for charity. We know you've got red in your ledger. This is your one chance. One.
Uno.
To make things right. So, check it out. I mean, go to the show or just go to Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, and see what kind of fun stuffs I got there.
Shall we do another question?
Oh, hang on. Let me call him up here. Do-do-do-do-do. See, I got to drop a note of case so they don't sue us. Eesh, you want to get sued? All right.
Joe, is Johnny DC still a part of the post-New 52 continuity?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think she is. Because I go back and I read those Ambush Bug, and her job was keeping continuity straight. And if you read the New 52 and then you read some of the Rebirth stuff, and you, like Butch said, hey, what happened to the Twilight uber-thin Lobo? I never existed. What?
I never was.
The New Gods. Before Rebirth, they were around. Now, well, they're not. So, if Johnny DC is around, I think she had a brain embolism and died.
That'll teach her.
So that was an easy question. Told you we could knock another one out of the park.
That was more like a dribble to second base with an error.
And, now it's my favorite part of the show. No, 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 not when I go to TGI Fridays and get the macaroni and cheese bites that are deep baked and then put into a bag. No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, on the plus side, my shingles cleared up. On the negative side, because I had to stop taking my rheumatoid arthritis medicine, now my rheumatoid arthritis is flaring up. Ouch. Last night, I could not get to sleep. And my wife, of course, she wasn't able to sleep. And then I, of course, didn't help much. But, went to the chiropractor today. They did some adjustments. I'm back on the meds, but it takes a while for it to tamp down that overactive immune system. So I'm going to be in pain a little bit. Fortunately, I'm off because I took some time off for the con, and so that shouldn't be too bad. Other than that, that's pretty much it. Things haven't been going pretty good, but we'll talk about that when we get to geeking. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Oh, I got a list.
Corey's got issues with you people.
It's not the listeners. The listeners are my best friends. They're my only friends. They're what I do this for.
I mean, he kicked out the big stuffed Groot we bought for him. What a snot.
Matter of fact, if you don't listen to the show, I probably don't like you.
There's
read
the type of people in the world, the smart, intellectual, gifted people, and the dumbass heathens who don't listen to our show.
Damn right. I got caught up on the IDW Star Trek series, and I just have one thing to say. Enough with the Borg already!
You find them Borging?
I find the fact that they have to cram them into everything annoying as hell. This is the original series. It's that, that era. And now they've had the Borg show up back when Kirk had the Enterprise. We've still got Klingons that we could play with.
Starboard bow.
You've got Romulans you could play with. You've the Tholians. You've got all these races, all this stuff you can do.
Anybody really play with Romulans?
Other Romulans.
Okay.
Maybe the Vulcans.
Mm.
You've got the fact that Vulcan's been destroyed. You've got all this stuff. No, we have to have the Borg show up. Which, and then... spoiler, the end of the end of the story, they blow up a Borg ship. Look, not even the new generation people could blow up a Borg ship very easily. 100 years in the past, they wouldn't have been able to. It's almost like the Borg keep getting depowered every time they show up. The Borg should be something that's used rarely. It should only have shown up after Q. Because remember, the Borg didn't show up until Q had the Enterprise run into them. That's when they became aware of the Federation.
Although they did, when they went and they delve in the history of Seven of Nine, who, you know, not her sister, you know, Six, they did talk about how her parents were trying to convince Starfleet of the Borg's existence. And when they actually got sucked into the Delta Quadrant by accident because they got caught in a, what the heck do they call it, that transwarp Piper blah blah of a conduit. And so while they were there, they discovered, well, if you don't threaten the Borg, you can kind of follow them. And that's how they sat and studied them. And we all know how well that turned out, because eventually they went too far and the Borg assimilated pretty much everybody. So, you know, by that time, they were sort of aware of it. And then, of course, if you want to go back, did you ever see the Enterprise episode?
No.
With what happened? You saw First Contact.
Yes. But that was time travel.
But what happened were those Borg remnants were left behind. Some of them crashed in the Arctic. Then they went and found whoever went and found these did the one thing you should never ever do if you find frozen beings in the Arctic. And I don't care if you're in the Thing or in this case Star Trek Enterprise, they thawed them out. And then the Borg assimilated them and started to reassimilate the ship, took off. Because it wasn't a true Borg ship, the Enterprise was able to catch up and defeat them, but not before they sent a transmission into the Delta Quadrant. And they're like, how long is it going to be till it gets there? Oh, about 200 years. So, you know, again, that's kind of playing makes sense. You know, there was all this Borg debris left behind from First Contact. But, yeah, Original Series, it really should be Borg free.
Yeah.
It should be Ferengi free.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh.
Don't
I just saw
money.
Something on eBay. Anyways, that's my Star Trek rant.
The next thing I'm freaking out, Doonesbury. Back in the 70s, at the height of Watergate, that's when Doonesbury exploded. That's when they went from a few papers to hundreds of papers to thousands of papers. And now he's still only doing Sunday strips. Look, dude, Gary, I don't know how to break it to you, but the TV show that you quit doing the daily strips for, Amazon canceled it. I know you're in your 60s. We need you. We need you doing stuff every day. Come back. Do a daily strip again, please. Marvel and DC are having a big pissing match over who had the number one selling comic last month, Joe. Did you know that?
Oh, well, I think it was Image anyways, but do tell.
Marvel says they have the number one selling comic because if you look at the chart, Secret Empire number one is the number one selling comic. DC says they have the number one selling comic because they solicited the Batman regular cover and the Batman lenticular cover as two separate books.
And sneaky bastards!
Well, what they're doing, it's okay, if you add them together, it outsold Secret Empire. But the reason they did it that way is so that they could have more shelf space. Oops. Not more shelf space, but more slots so that they could up their percentage.
You sneaky assholes.
So they want to have it both ways. They want to have Batman with the two covers as two different books so that they get more market share out of it. But they also want it to be, no, if you add them together, it's the number one selling book. Well, yeah, you can't have both. You can't have both. And really, at the end of the day, nobody cares.
I don't, although I did read the Batman.
I've read the Batman and I've read the Secret Empire. You didn't like Secret Empire. I did.
I didn't say that, but I'm going to probably read it whenever it comes out as a graphic novel. And I'll tell you why, but later.
Okay. Last thing I'm geeking on is work. Work pretty much kicked my ass the last 2 days. You know,
yes, folks, I know he said geeking instead of freaking, but just bear with us. I mean, he will edit it out.
No, I won't edit it out. I don't edit out my mistakes. I only edit
That's
out
true.
The
Otherwise, I wouldn't be on the podcast at all.
Please clap.
George Bush liked that joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeb Bush. See, I left that mistake in.
Yep.
No, I only edit out the stuff where we're coughing and clearing our throats. And
Gord drops the mop bucket because he's trying to clean someone's house.
And we have pauses for more than 4 seconds.
You hear the ching and the changs, and, you know, I might have to stop and vomit.
Or when Joe says something libelous.
Yeah.
You people have listened to the show. You have no idea the stuff he says that I edit out.
Oh, sure. The last time I said, Corey had to edit that out.
Yeah. You can't say that about him, Joe.
Oh, sorry. I meant.
You can't say that either.
Well, yeah, but she never listens anymore.
Work has been kicking my ass. Yesterday was one of the worst days I've had in a while, which is weird because if you look at it on the surface, it should have been a good day. I did 2 training sessions. I had my monthly review of my calls where I got perfect scores. I had the highest score on the team for my quality. However, we are running near the end of a couple of promotions, so we're getting a lot more calls than normal. One client who normally has 30 calls a day yesterday had 350. And one of which, the call took so long because the person kept arguing that I was 15 minutes late to start my training session. Because the person would said, you know, I said, you need to turn this stuff in or this will happen. Well, you can't do that. It's not me doing it. It's the company you work for. And, yes, they can do that. They can put conditions for, well, then I'll sue. Okay, you can sue all you want. No, you need to react to the fact that I'm going to sue. It doesn't matter to me if you sue. These are the documents you need to send in. It's not legal for you to ask for those. Yes, it is. Your employer could ask for these things. Here's the law around it. Well, I don't agree with that law. And this is where, you know, I didn't say this, but it's like, I don't care what laws you agree with. There are laws I don't agree with, but if the cop pulls me over for speeding, I'm going to pay the ticket. And then later in the day, somebody called and had sent in the wrong paperwork and started swearing at me. And not just, you know, your standard, oh, that's bullshit. No, started swearing at me, calling me names, and not letting me. And whenever I would try to say something, he would drown me out with the swearing. Until finally I said, sir, if you continue to talk like that, I will terminate the call. Well, you can't sir. I no longer have to take this abusive language, and I'm ending the call. So I'm done with the call. I'm really tense. Oh, good, it's my break time. I don't want to go anywhere for break. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to look at my email. Look, here's a special deal that my phone company's giving. Click on that. A supervisor for another team walks by and goes, that's not a work-related site. You're not allowed to look at that. Turn it off. What is that related to work? And I kept saying, I'm on break. That's not a work-related site. This is out loud around the team. So customer screams at me. Supervisor from some other team is screaming at me. Look, lady, we can look at whatever we want on our break as long as it's not porn. So really tense after that. Get back, try to get back in the groove, call after call after call. My boss taps me on the shoulder and says, can you come over? We need to listen to a call. The call where the person's yelling at me, calling me names and swearing, she said, you shouldn't have ended the call. I said, well, we were told in training that if someone's swearing at us, that we can ask them to stop, and if they don't stop, we could terminate the call. She said, well, yeah, But if you want to be a leader, you need to be able to take that sort of thing and fight through it to help the customer. And we're grooming you for leadership position, so do whatever you have to do. You know, write, you know, have a notepad, write name, call him names on the notepad, whatever you need to do. If you want to advance, you need to be able to take that. So I came home, and I was pretty tense about it, and there was some personal stuff going on as well. Today I go into work, and the call volume doubled. And people on the team are freaking out because it's, you know, tomorrow's a deadline for people, and they're looking for any way to get past the deadline. So I'm assisting the people on the team who are sending me instant messages asking for help on things while getting inundated with calls. On a normal day, I take around 30 to 40 calls. I had 90 calls today. And got a note today from the group home, Joe.
Uh-oh.
Three full-time overnight people have turned in their notices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit anxious and stressed. So let's calm me down by talking about what we're geeking about. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, that I don't have your job.
Damn right.
Oh, God, there were about three times I just thought, you know, I could cut in, but I'm just going to let Corey rant because, God dang, sometimes you got to get that shit off your chest.
You know, I swear today if that person would have walked by because I was at lunch, and it's okay, I want to read the news while I'm at lunch. I'm going to have lunch at my desk so that I'm not late getting back and people can ask me for help. If she would have went by and did it again, I would have said, okay, here, I'm going to solve your problem. I quit.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Some people just shouldn't be supervisors.
Well, even if I was in the wrong, you don't do that out loud, so loud that people four rows away can hear. You do it in private. That's what a
yep.
leader does.
Yep. Yep. That's what I was thinking. But what I'm really thinking about is that what I've read over the last couple weeks, because we really haven't got a chance to talk much about reading stuff because of the big episodes and all sorts of stuff.
We did an episode that was nothing but reviews.
I know, and it's about time. We should do more of those.
Yes, we should.
And so some of these might be, you know, I kind of was going through everything, and I'm thinking, geez, what did I talk about? What haven't I talked about? And so I might have talked about all these things. I mean, did I talk about the new Astro City graphic novel, Honor Guard?
No.
It's just come out, and, of course, I love Astro City. It's a lot of fun. It reads well. You know, it's probably one of the best superhero books out there. The things that drop now, you know, might have something to do with a book later on down the road. You can go back and catch up, pick up little things. This particular one deals mostly with different people in the Honor Guard. And the Honor Guard, of course, is the stereotypical Avenger JLA book in Buziak's universe, but there's nothing stereotypical about how he writes. So go find yourself some Astro City. You're doing a favor. I read a couple books. The first one was called The Sheriff of Yarnamere. It's Yarnamere by Michael Rubens. And this is basically, I'll just quote Stephen Colbert. Finally, a science fiction book your grandmother will love if she's a lusty, violent lady. And seriously, if you're, it's in the realm of, like Douglas Adam and Terry Pratchett. It's kind of sci-fi comedy. It's just an amazingly fun read. You should be able to find it cheap on eBay. This one I picked up, I believe, I might have got it from our good friends at Dreamhaven. He just had them on sale, so I picked it up and read it. Speaking of reading, Corey, do you ever read the novelization of movies?
Not anymore. I used to when I was a kid, but I don't anymore because you could buy the DVD and just have it. Back
what
then, it's
the,
like, oh, I'm never going to get to see The Swarm. It's not going to come to Canton. I'll just buy the book.
I remember that book because the book was way different than the movie.
And much, 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 much better.
True. Now, have you seen the movie Forrest Gump?
Yes, it's based on a book.
Now, have you read Forrest Gump, the book?
That's why I hate the movie so much. I love the novel. Hate the movie.
Yes. The novel by Winston Groom. And I finally picked it up again, a couple cheap eBay copies, because I had heard that the novel, well, first of all, it's pretty far out there. I mean, it's just like I'm reading this, and the first thing you got to get used to is you're basically reading it the way Gump talks, because he doesn't use a lot of D's and T's. So I get to sit next to the chairman himself, and you could either sit there and sound out the way he would talk or just read it. And I just sat down and read it. He basically goes through a lot more in the novel, and it's just a fun romp. It parts of it I had to just do a face palm. Parts of it I was laughing out loud at. And, of course, I thought, well, you know what? I remember Groom talking about how he didn't like what they did to his novel, so he went and wrote himself up a sequel to that.
Yes, called he did.
Gump and Company, which wasn't as much fun, wasn't as silly, but it was still an okay read. And being that I got them super cheap, I just figured, why not? Most of the time, I don't read novelizations. I used to do tons of them. I mean, Alex Dean Foster probably bought him a wing on his house because of all the the novelizations I bought. Some people, like when I see Peter David writes a novelization, I will try to pick up because he always adds things. He'll see the movie. He'll fill in the plots. He did that a couple times, like when he did a Babylon 5 novelization. And I've always, you know, Peter David, he's one of those guys who could write the phone book, and I'd enjoy it. So if you like the show, if you like the movie, go check out the book. They're two different animals, in my opinion, but it was a lot of fun. I read Emma Frost, The Ultimate Collection. Emma Frost, of course, the White Queen from the X-Men. This one, I think I might have blabbed about this on the upcoming podcast where we're road traveling, because I know we're trying to keep us on track. I asked, what was the last thing you read? And I think I quoted this thing. And it just starts out, it takes place about the time the X-Men got together, and she's, like most mutants, discovering her powers. She's from a very dysfunctional family. And as interesting as it was, it always makes me think, okay, is this like continuity or is this just forgotten about? Because they drop some interesting things in there, and you kind of wonder, well, whatever happened to her brother? What happened to her sister? What happened to the dad, the big, you know, guy who's, you know, richer than half the people on the Eastern Seaboard, you know? So it's a fun book, and again, being the Ultimate Collection, I got the whole run, and it's, I think, written by Carl Bowlers, illustrated by Randy Green and Carlo Pagulian. Emma Frost, 1 through 18. Of course, you might have noticed it on the shelf because I think Greg Horn did all the covers. Greg Horn, good man. Corey, have you – let's ask Corey.
Astrode?
Yep. How much do you want to be a superhuman?
Oh, I don't.
That's good, because after you read No Hero by Warren Ellis and Juan Jose Rip from Avatar, you will never want to be a hero. Hey, what can I say? It's Warren Ellis. It's violent. It's bloody. Well, it's Avatar, you know. Dead heroes are in the dirt. A killer capable of almost supernatural tortures. 5 generations of the world's only superhuman group. A 40-year legacy of standing for the rights of freedom and safety. A young man obsessed with the need for street justice. How much do you want to be a superhuman? Well, apparently, go read it. I think 9 or 10 issues of Avatar. I picked up the graphic novel. Came out a number of years ago, and I just, as I'm wading through stuff, I just dug it out and read it. Or buy my copy on eBay's if you want. But kind of an interesting take on the superhero thing. And, of course, you know, as you're reading it, you're trying to figure out who am I for, who am I against. And no matter who you pick, which side you pick, you're wrong. So, and I think that's pretty much it for geeking. I mean, I did read a lot of the Free Comic Book Day stuff, but we'll talk about that, I guess, in the next coming weeks. I should say, you know, I did make a comment about the Secret Empire. In Free Comic Book Day, they did have, I don't know, is it an original or was it just
That's an original. That's takes place between 0 and 1.
So after reading it, I'm still like, you know, I'm not going to buy into it because I'm kind of out. I think there's a series coming up at DC, their big crossover. I was kind of the same thing, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to check out here. But I think that'll be something that'll be worth picking up in a book. And I think I did, but I'm not sure where I put everything. Oh, well. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you going?
I am geeking on the fact that this is podcast week. I have only been able to do one or two podcasts a week for quite a while because of work and other things. But this week, we got 5 podcasts dropping, baby. I've got some interviews lined up over the next few weeks that are really exciting, including Carl Kessel is bringing back Section Zero, which is a podcast, which is a comic that he and Tom Grummett did for Guerrilla Comics. And Carl Kessel and I were going to talk about that, and you know I'm going to talk Kirby with him. You know I'm going to talk
Kirby. Kirby.
But I like the fact that I'm revving back up again. I like the weeks when I have 3 podcasts a week. Those make me happy. And I also like the fact that our listenership has grown. I'm really thankful for you guys for liking us.
Wait, did you say groaning or groan?
Be quiet. Free Comic Book Day was a blast. I haven't had a good day of geeking in a while, but I also like the fact that we found a shop that will sell us all of the Free Comic Book Day books. And the reason I like buying them, what a lot of people don't realize is your shop pays for those books. The shop pays for them to give them away. But I don't know, what are they, like a quarter each or 12 cents each or something?
It depends. It depends. I think some can go as high as 30. It really depends on the publisher. Obviously, Marvel and them can do it cheap, but some of the smaller ones might pay a little more.
And we get one of each to talk about them on the show. But I also like the fact that, you know, when I'm a comic book fan. They don't need to sell me. About the only thing this does is most Free Comic Book Day books are promotion. Hey, here's this character and here's their situation. And here's what we're doing this year. So it's great for people who don't read comics, but for the people who, you know, they go in every week and they pick up the stuff and they don't buy anything new, well, you're costing your shop money. That's why I like the fact that I pay for them. That way the shop doesn't lose any money on me. And also the fact that it's now, it's always kind of been when Marvel puts out a movie. The first one was 2002 when Spider-Man came out. And I think it's a really good tie-in. 2 comics I read this week that I absolutely adore. The first is Bug. Bug is a character that was in the New Gods. There was an actual, I think it was New Gods number 9 with Forager. And it was a character that Kirby put a lot of thought into and put him in the book and then didn't use him. And he got used a little bit in Cosmic Odyssey. But really, Bug is one of the New Gods characters that nobody has played with much until Mike Allred picked it up. And Mike Allred and his brother are doing the story, and Mike Allred's lovely wife, Linda, is doing the coloring. So it's kind of a family affair, and it is exactly what you'd expect with Mike Allred doing Kirby. It's a blast. Tons of fun ideas. The artwork is kinetic and fantastic, and I absolutely adore it. It's a 6-issue miniseries. If you're not going to pick up the first issue, don't worry. I will bother you relentlessly when it comes out as a trade paperback. And the other book I picked up was one that I missed as a regular comic. And I'm kind of glad I did because it's much better as a trade. And that's American Barbarian by Tom Scioli, who is someone who draws in the Kirby style. He did Godland. He did The Myth of Eight Opus. He's doing Superpowers backups in the Young Animal books. He did the only Transformers comic I have ever bought. G.I. Joe versus Transformers. He drew that in a very Kirby-esque style. And American Barbarian is drawn in a very Kirby-esque style, but he also takes it forward with his own way of doing it. And I'm about halfway through, and it's just full of ideas and characters, and the art is played with a lot. There's a lot of surrealism around it with Kirby-drawn characters, and the world gets progressively more bizarre around them. And when I'm completely done reading it, I'll probably do a review on the show. What the hell was that?
What?
It was like you just took a big roll of tape and opened it in front of the microphone.
Hey, I've got things to price here for the upcoming comic show. If you're just going to be blathering on and on about things you like, I got works to do.
And the last thing is, Joe? Well, actually, two things, because they're connected. Joe, what are you doing the weekend of Memorial Day? Because I know what I'm doing.
I am off on Saturday, and I work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I will be going to this largest candy store in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Because that is the weekend they open, and they have, remember we went last year and we said, oh, I think they're building something. They built a planetarium. They built on a huge dome that has a planetarium in the ceiling with more room for candy. And it's getting all sorts of news coverage here in Minnesota, but there's one candy that I don't have to wait to buy because it's brand new, and I bought some of it today, and but all those extra hours at the group home, I may spend most of it on that. Joe, have you tried the new caramel M&Ms?
No.
Well, you're diabetic, right?
Yes.
You may want to stay away from them because after you have a few, you'll want to eat the 64-ounce bag. They're that good. They're that good.
They are.
Yes. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on for an hour and a half about funny books. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Filthy. She has no idea. If we had a blacklight, it would look like a Jackson Pollock painting. The only time I saw Corey get nervous in the movie theater when that line hit. Speaking of hit, hit my music. Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here. You know what I'm saying?
Done, bitches!